Welcome to the 100 Degrees Navigating Narcissistic Relationships podcast. I am your host, Steph Meesh, and this podcast is where we explore the complexities of narcissistic relationships, the practical tips, shared experiences, and expert advice are designed to help you understand, cope with, and ultimately break free from these very difficult relationship types. As mentioned earlier, in this episode, we talk about the gift of red flags, which does sound crazy, right? But a couple of red flags are true gifts because they give you a hint of what crazy looks like on your new boo. And the earlier you receive these gifts, the better. That way, you can make a sound decision to swiftly walk away. So let's dig in. Now, I'm sure we can all agree that the infatuation stage is typically at the beginning of most relationships. And in healthy relationships, once the infatuation phase begins to subside, there's still genuine interest in taking the relationship to the next level. You're both still very excited and interested in each other. Unlike that of a narcissistic relationship, which is when the narcissist is tired of pretending to be your soulmate and pretending to be interested overall, and you begin to see them change slowly but surely from Dr. Jekyll to Mr. Hyde. So let's take a look at some of the red flags I've received. Of course, number one is love bombing. I didn't even know what love bombing was until I started studying narcissistic characteristics. So in case you're not really sure what I mean, love bombing is when you're overwhelmed with excessive attention and affection. Now, I know that sounds great and it should be exciting, right? But not when you're dealing with a narcissist, because the key word is excessive and their true actions are hypocritical, which makes the purpose of what they're doing manipulative. These acts of kindness are designed to lock you in quickly so that you become so head over heels for them and you dismiss or make excuses for their intolerable behavior that you'll experience in the future. And you won't know this in advance, which is why I'm here, to sort of shed some light on some of these typical behaviors you may experience and start to give the narcissist an excuse because you're still swooned from the love bombing, but just to give you some steps to take to be cognizant of the possibility of your dating a narcissist. Some examples of these bombshells are never-ending compliments, constant attention, excessive communication, and claiming to be your soulmate. And that's just to name a few at first. But because it's the beginning of the relationship, this type of behavior is to be expected, right? No, ma'am. No, sir. As I mentioned earlier, the key word is excessive. While these acts of kindness appear to be very flattering at first, you have to wonder, why am I feeling a little uncomfortable with all of this? That's because your inner spirit can sense that something is a little twisted because it's too much, way too soon. So what happens is once the narcissist thinks they've got you locked in and starts questioning your whereabouts and calling you every 15 minutes and dropping by your house unannounced, you're like, wait a minute, what is going on? Why is this moving so fast? Slow down. And I'm here to say, on that note, congratulations, you've received your first red flag. Okay, so I have another example on the excessive phone calls. Because in the beginning of the relationship, or most relationships, the phone calls and the text messages are so endearing, they're so sweet and considerate, and you're thinking, wow, this guy is really into me, right? Wrong, because in a few weeks, you'll find that these phone calls are way too excessive. And then the content goes from super sweet, like, oh, hi, I was just calling to see how you were doing. Oh, I'm doing fine. That's great. 15 minutes later, the next call would be something like, oh, I was just thinking about you. You know, I'm so excited about us. We're just so perfect together. And you're like, oh, that's great. That is so nice. Okay, well, I'm still at my friend's house and I will call you later. Until you receive the next call 25 minutes later. And it's like, are you still there? Oh, I thought you said you were going to call me later. Oh, I didn't hear that part. All right. Well, don't forget to call me. I'm just thinking about you. So you're going to hear all of this sweetness for a little while until it gets overbearing, until you're wondering what is happening, because why am I getting these constant calls? Like, where is the security in this person that I just met? So you're going to start asking questions, and even that oven in itself is going to be an issue. Now, we know that narcissists are known for their extreme sense of entitlement, which means they feel like they have a supreme right to your time and your favor. It's like whatever you have going on in your life, the narcissist think you should be available, make yourself available, stop, drop, and roll for any phone call or any text message that they send you because they are reaching out. For example, so I remember dating a narcissist and we were on the phone. So I got a call on the other line and I clicked over and I said, hey, this is my mom. I'm going to give you a call back. And he was like, your mom? He said, tell her it's me. I said, no, I don't need to tell her it's you. He said, does she know it's me? I was like, she doesn't need to know who it is. I'm telling you that I'm going to call you back. So to even have that little conversation, or to even feel like they're so bigger than a conversation for my mom to tell me, hey, does she know it's me? And just tell her, no, I'm not telling her anything. I'm telling you, I will call you back. So the fact that, you know, I even had that little dialogue, it was a red flag, but I was like, I'm going to push this in the back burner because they mean well, I suppose, until later on, I found out later. So that's just an example, something really brief, but you know, it kind of catches you off guard and you're not really expecting that type of conversation. You expect to be more, the person that you're talking to, the person that you just met, to be more respectful and to be more understanding that you have other people in your life, especially ones that they know to be a priority. So that's what I mean. So this is not because they truly care or concerned. This is not because they just truly miss you and just want to spend all of this quality time with you. They want to spend time, but they want to spend all of your free time. And that's for another show when we talk about how dating a narcissist, or the mindset of a narcissist, is to literally suck the living life out of you. It's crazy, but that is what they do. And you kind of get into it in slow motion. And before you know it, you're wrapped up into their whole life and you've lost your own. So I'm getting off. So here's the thing. So if you do happen to miss a text message or happen to miss a phone call from them and you don't answer it, they will accuse you of intentionally missing the phone call or accuse you of being too busy talking to somebody else. So that level of insecurity that they have is not going to give them the comfort or the understanding that you are busy and you are unavailable at the moment. They want to speak with you when they want to, and that is not cool. This is just another manipulation tactic that is used to hook you in, to not only feed their ego for arguments, it's just to create some drama and some action into the relationship. You know how there are some people who like to cause an accident, or when there is a fight or disagreement or misunderstanding or what have you in that arena, they want to, you know, just lash all out and then make up afterwards, like kiss and make up afterwards. But no, you need to resolve the issue first. This is not just a, you know, have a showdown and then throw down later. Like, that is not cool. So you have to be cognizant of those type tactics, because by the time you get emotionally involved in trying to prove your truth and your honesty to them, they're feeding on that as well, but it's more over an opportunity for them to just lash out and have fun, because arguments is something that they actually thrive on, which is the opposite of a healthy relationship mindset, is that you don't want to argue. You understand you're going to have disagreements. You're not going to agree on everything. Like, everything is not perfect. This is not Pleasantville. But there's a way to have an argument or a way to disagree in a way that's respectful and where both parties are respected and heard, so you can come to a resolution. So that's my point in that part. Definitely be cognizant of those constant arguments, and they're never ending and they're popping up every 30 minutes, every hour, the next couple of days. And not only that, there is no resolution. So that's a mess. Don't fall for it. Don't get trapped into their narcissistic rage because they need an excuse to blow off some steam. So that's just another game that they play. And then there you go. There's another red flag. So since the narcissist also can't seem to get enough compliments, they are constantly seeking and striving for you or anyone around them to compliment them on how well they look, how well they dress, or how smart they are, how articulate they may be, or what have you. However many women they have fallen over them. So if you don't compliment them, they're going to tell you what they've been hearing and what's been going on. And it's like, not really interested in that conversation, but if this is what you want to talk about, that just for this moment, like this is not a conversation I need to have. It's like, woof, too much going on. So also be cognizant of that need for compliments or adornment or any of those things to put them on a pedestal to make them shine as well. Because if you don't give them the compliments, they're going to seek them other places, or they're going to tell you again that they have already gotten them, or they'll just compliment themselves. They'll be like, "Ooh, I look good in this. What do you think about this? Well, how do you like this?" So they'll just pull the compliments out. So either way, they need it, and it's just too much. It's one thing to naturally compliment someone, or you see someone that look nice and you just want to let them know how beautiful they look or how wonderful they sound or how whatever you want to say. It does not need to be orchestrated. It doesn't have to be pulled out. It should be a natural occurrence. It should be a natural option for you to want to share. Another very popular characteristic of narcissists that most people talk about is gaslighting. Gaslighting is another manipulation tool that they use to get you to change your behavior so you can feel guilty enough or responsible for the way they're acting so that it will change your behavior. So also shame shifting and guilt tripping, all of these type things are somewhat in the same arena. For example, I told an ex that I was going to a birthday party for one of my coworkers. And he proceeded to gaslight me. Here again, I didn't know what gaslighting was until I was in this situation. And I was like, okay, what is happening? What is going on here? So we are both adults. Like, what is this? And he was like, "Oh, so you're going to a birthday party. Oh, you must be someone who likes to be in these streets." I said, "Streets? I'm going to a birthday party. What is this?" He was like, "Oh, you're too old to be hanging out like that. You know, people are crazy out there nowadays. Do you see people be getting murdered and stuff? People..." What are you talking about? So it's craziness, but it's all gaslighting. Oh, and now you start being accused for meeting somebody else. Don't really want to be there anyway. Don't really want to be with them. So then fine. You want to go? You can just come along with me and we can both hang, have a good time. No, I don't want to go. I just don't want to be. Okay. This right here is typical and it is nonsense because here again, when you have someone who has your best interest at hand, the conversation would turn out very differently and it would be introduced more pleasant and not in a manipulative way to try and make you feel bad about what you're doing. So not only are they saying that, "Oh, well, you're too this to be doing that and you shouldn't be doing these things as an adult as you are, where you can make your own decisions." They also try to make, you know, throw shade actually to make it seem like it's a bad thing to go to a birthday party. And then he threw at the end, he was like, "Birthday parties are for kids." I was like, "Okay, you need some medication because something is really wrong." But I was joking to myself, but I didn't realize that that was probably a real true statement. For real, for real. Okay, so that's just gaslighting. Now, you'll also walk down the road with the narcissist eventually. And this isn't on the list specifically with that actual title, but this is one of the characteristics that they will want to change you. Now, in this instance, you are the same person that they fell head over heels with in the beginning. For the most part, you haven't changed at all. You're really just in the beginning of the relationship where you're just trying to get to know them, have them get to know you. So there is no room for any awkwardness. You want to come as you are, like Alicia Keys says, as I am, right? But what'll happen is that eventually the narcissist will find little ways to try to change who you are or what you like to do or places you like to go. They're going to complain about you hanging out with your friends. They're going to complain about you wearing jeans, if you wear jeans more than you wear dresses. Whatever you are doing, it's whatever, they're going to change that. They're going to try to change that and try to see. This is a way for them to kind of test the waters because you're fairly new in the relationship, so you don't know their tactics like they do. So they try to do little things, very subtle, to see how far they can go. Like, how far can I really push the envelope? For example, for most people who know me, I love to wear dresses and heels. I'm going to wear some dresses. I'm going to wear some heels. I have to have tennis shoes like in the trunk of my car just in case, you know, I have to change or fit the purpose. As long as that I have a clue, as long as I know what we're doing, then of course. But if I'm not really sure if we're going out, I'm probably going to wear a dress and some heels. But I will have some sneakers in the car just in case. So after a few weeks, the guy that I was dating began to question me about wearing jeans and sneakers. He was like, if I saw you in another dress, we were going to go shopping. I said, dang, I should have worn another dress because I want to see that day we go shopping to buy jeans and buy apparel and stuff that I already have. But instead of trying to ask the question, you're just trying to gaslight me to make me think there's something wrong with my dresses. That is not the case. I already got your number, so whatever. So that's another tactic. So we're going to go ahead and wrap this up really quickly. So the only other observation I had early on in the relationship, I wasn't sure, and I let it go on and just let it continue on out, was the lack of emotional connectivity. So when we talk about emotional connectivity, those are like, you know, subjective feelings that come together to create a bond between the two people. So you're just kind of sharing your intimate thoughts, your dreams, your aspirations, you know, things about your childhood, things about your past, you know, things that get on your nerves. You may have had a conversation with your mom or one of your siblings or your best friend, and you're like, oh my God, this is crazy. So you just happen to have that conversation with them and you're just sharing. So it was just really strange that we never really had those type conversations. And whenever I started talking about my childhood or talking about growing up or just thinking about things, almost like those questions where you ask, you know, if you won the lottery, if you won $1 million, like what would you do with it? You know, it's like those conversations are just interesting, fun conversation starters. But narcissists are, they're having to give too much of themselves. They'd have to be sincere somewhere to answer those type questions. They're not really interested in doing that. So they're having to be really open, vulnerable, and transparent, which are all attributes that are kind of foreign to them because they have a motive. Most narcissists are opportunists. So relationships is just a means to an end. It's not even a sincere situation. But that's just all the information I wanted to share on that for the most part, but we will get into some other things next time. So as previously mentioned, narcissists have a plethora of personality characteristics, and these are just a few that I've experienced, and I had no idea that I was spiraling down a rabbit hole. Hopefully this information has enlightened you, or at least encouraged you to pay attention to some of the bizarre comments that you notice or some bizarre behavior. Because trust me, if you've got questions, we've got answers. Thank you so much for joining us this week on 112 Degrees Navigating Narcissistic Relationships. You will find more resources and content on my website at desire2ir.com. That's desire2ir.com. Also, don't forget to rate, share, and subscribe. Be sure to tune in next week for our next episode as we trailblaze a path to unlock the true love you deserve.